You're listening to The Bike Show on Resonance 104.4 FM, and the sounds you can hear in the background is Monday morning, not very far from Vauxhall Cross, one of the most exciting places to ride a bike. It's a five-lane gyratory system, angry buses, taxis, white van man, etc. Lots of dangers in the road. But it's not dangers in the road that we're going to be looking at today. It is London's life aquatic, so to speak. And I have with me as a special guest and guide for this week's show, Jason, who writes the Onion Bag blog, his observations and thoughts about life in London. If you're a regular reader of the blog, as I am, you will notice a particular affinity with London's swimming spots, in particular the outdoor ones that are having a little bit of a renaissance. And we're going to be making a tour of a handful of London's best places to have a swim in the outdoors. So welcome to the bike show, Jason.
Thank you very much. A handful sounds rather adventurous for 7 a.m. on a Monday morning. I think we're lucky if we get three in, but certainly the prospect of diving into some nice fresh water is very appealing compared to this huge juggernaut which has just gone past me. So I'm looking forward to a bit of cycling and plenty of swimming.
Do you have a special route to get down to the Lido?
I do. Unfortunately, I'm one of these lazy cyclists in that I just get out my A to Z and plot out the most straightforward route. I can't be very adventurous with lots of cycling lanes taking all the picturesque side of South London. So we're going to swing past here, past the Oval. Again, one of my favourite South London places. We're going to head down towards Brixton through the market, which is quite lively this time of the morning. It's good fun. Out towards more poetry-esque area of around Herne Hill into Rockwell Park. And we should be there in around 10, 15 minutes.
Okay. Well, a quick run down Brixton Road and then left down through the market, and we're here. And we are putting our bikes outside the Lido on a very fine selection of bike racks here.
Most certainly. People aren't aware of the history of the Lido, a kind of potted history. It was built in 1937. Lido's notoriously struggled to make money. It closed in 1990 under the ownership of Lambeth Council. And then a couple of wonderful local characters, there was a point to all of this, a couple of wonderful local characters, Paddy and Casey, took over the running from 94 until 2007 and struggled, and probably, I imagine, only just about broke even. And then Fusion, who now run the Lido, who are a not-for-profit leisure company, had the 25-year lease from Lambeth to run the Lido. And Fusion have made, I think, a few mistakes. In general, they've done an awful lot of good things, one of which we can see right in front of us now, which is, I would gather, probably about two dozen or so bike racks. Prior to the refurbishment, a couple of years ago, there was four solitary bike racks, the entire Lido. And on the real sort of few, what a scorcher days, you get 2,000 people in there, a huge number of which do cycle, and four bike racks into, say, 2,000 or so people, the sums don't really match up. I've had a few close incidents with bike theft around here, but not so now, because we've got these wonderful bike racks in front of us.
When did you get into coming for a swim early in the morning down here?
I really stumbled across the Lido. When I first lived in London, it was on the other side of the park towards Brixton Hill, and I was more into running then. I used to like run around here endlessly. It seemed rather pointless. I used to always see this wonderful building called a Lido. My first summer here, I kind of ignored it. It really bypassed me. And the second summer in London, I thought, yeah, let's give this a go. And I just went in, not entirely sure what to expect. And I was just really hooked as soon as I kind of walked in and just saw in the inner city this wonderful blue vast area and people just really being on holiday while still being at home. And that was 12, 13 or so years ago. And I pretty much lived my summers here ever since.
Well, let's finish up locking up the bikes and head in.
Come on, everybody! Come on in! Bobby's gonna show you how to do the swim! But not so low, like the Hully Gully, but not so low.
That was very pleasant. 10 lengths, that must be just an appetizer for you of a morning.
If I'm in a rush, then sort of 10, 12 is quite good. If I've got more time, 20 is nice.
The pool is here 50 metres, is that right?
Yeah, I've always been led to believe it's 50 metres. And then I had a chat with some bloke a few weeks ago who swore adamant it was 50 yards. And his kind of rationale was, okay, when they were building Lido's, obviously it was yards and not metres.
Why would they have chosen metres? Yeah, we could pace it out, I suppose. But what you really notice as a long-time pool swimmer is that there's no lines on the bottom here. So you have to focus a little bit on going in a straight line, particularly if you haven't got any goggles, as I don't, which is a bit challenging. But that's quite liberating, I think. There is something a bit drone-like about going up and down the black line and turning so often. If you're swimming a 25-metre pool, you're turning around all the time.
Yeah, that's one of the appeals that I do like about swimming here at Brockwell is the sheer size of it. Brixton Rec indoors is a poxy 25-metre pool. You better get going. Clapham's not bad. It's 33 metres, but for some bizarre reason, they're going to rebuild that as a 25-metre pool, which makes no sense to me. This is a great length. We've got Tooting nearby at 90 metres, which is a bit of a beast, to be honest. So I find it very, very comfortable here, a nice 50-metre stretch. And, yeah, I certainly agree with your observation about the lines. Once you're in here on a wonderful day like today, the blue sky is reflecting down, and all you can see on the water is just the sunlight dancing away. It sounds rather kind of fluffy and flowery, but it does beat an indoor pool that's hot and stuffy.
Well, a short stone's throw from the Lido, we're down on the Railton Road, and we have an audience with a local legend known as Sam the Wheels, who runs possibly the smallest bike shop in London. Yeah, tell me about your business. How long have you been fixing bikes, building wheels?
I've been building wheels now over 6 years.
Over 60 years?
Over 60 years.
What started you out?
Well, I was a cycle mechanic from Jamaica. I got my bike shop in Jamaica. And when I came here in 1954, my first job was with Claude Butler. Then I lived from Claude Butler to Dayton Cycle in Park Royal Roadhouse then. Spent 10 years with them. Then I moved from Park Royal to Penge. I worked with Hodge Cycle Company for 25 years. So, they closed down in 1986. And from 1986, I'm here.
Your specialty is wheels, right?
All my wheels are special. I do wheels for Tour de France, Tour de Britain, Tour de Italy. Everybody knows Sam. Sam the Wheels. Sam is the greatest.
And so have you noticed changes in cycling in London?
Changes?
Yeah, in the last 50 years.
The frames. Really frame them is not like frame like before. When they make it now, according to my experience, there's nothing to compare to frame that built 30, 40, 50 years ago. So, but I wouldn't class the frame they have today are number one.
No, so there's nobody building good frames anymore. What about down at Wickham? Barry Wickham's still building frames,
well,
isn't he?
Well, you know, Wickham built frame from the olden days, and Charles Robert, I believe they are the two around London here doing I mean, Ronald's or Columbus frame, you know, the real old time frame with the logs in there. But what they're making now is, you know, you're just well on, see, and that is no good. See, but the best frame you can get is 40, 50 years ago. Not beat them.
And so is business good?
Up and down. So, but people will come to the greatest, you know. So, because now people came from Scotland, Wales, everything come to some. To do the wheels, you know. Because they heard about me, they read about me, they find me in the newspaper, the magazine, everywhere you find some is the greatest.
Thanks for talking with us. Now,
right, we're at Kennington Park, just outside Oval Tube, looking at a tennis court, which is a rather nice tennis court, and a basketball court, again, which is not too bad. But if you can imagine going back 20 or so years to the late 80s, it would look a damn sight nicer, because you would have seen Kennington Lido, which was here. Lambeth Council, in their infinite wisdom, decided to actually fill it in and build tennis courts. I do like tennis, especially during the summer months, but I'd much rather see a Lido here. You can really build tennis courts at any stage, whereas a Lido takes a lot more planning and cost. And once it's gone, it's pretty much gone forever. So here we have Kennington Lido. Rest in peace.
How many ghost Lidos are there around London, do you think?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And one thing I've been wanting to do is a project, maybe online, of mapping all the lost London Lidos. In 1950, there was around 70 Lidos. A definition of a Lido could be quite flexible. It could include the Hampstead Heath Ponds or something like the Oasis Centre.
It's basically a place where you can swim out of doors, but in moderately controlled and protected environment. So not swimming in the Thames or the River Lee.
That sounds like a good working example to me. So we have, in the 1950s, post-war Britain, around 70 or so booming Lidos. They really were the boom industry around that period, not just for swimming, but an awful lot of galas were held there, diving competitions, swimming competitions, of which thankfully it's going to be resurrected this summer at Brockwell. The famous South London Swimming Gala returns to Brockwell this summer, and now we're down to at best calculations around a dozen or so within Greater London Lidos. There has been some kind of resurgence in recent years. We're heading up later on to London Fields, which was pretty much written off up until about 10 or so years ago. And that has been renovated and is looking absolutely splendid. So there is, I think, a slight swing back towards Lido life, but the glory days of the 50s and these 70-odd Lidos, sadly, are long gone. To build a pool now, obviously, is a multi-million pound venture, of which local councils are just very, very reluctant to do. Hence Lambeth Council, really, handing over all responsibility of running their Lido to Fusion, who do a fine job. Lambeth really just can't be asked, to be honest. As we can see with Kennington Lido, they couldn't be asked. It's been filled in, it's gone, it's there no more.
Why do you think they fell into disrepair? Was it a matter of them not making money? Did they become more expensive to run? Did people stop going?
I think they're all valid points. Money, ultimately, it must come down to. And Lidos do make money if it's a decent summer. If it's not a decent summer, they'll struggle to break even. And if you're a local authority and you're balancing the books, as I'm sure they all were during the 80s in Thatcher's Britain, then what's going to go first? Meals on Wheels or Lidos? And Lidos every time, sadly. So that is really, I think, why they fell out of fashion. Also, probably they're a victim of the times in the 70s, 80s. Perhaps swimming wasn't, and the whole healthy lifestyle wasn't so much in fashion as maybe it is now.
Having stopped for a nourishing cup of tea at the excellent Regency Cafe on Regency Place just off the Horse Ferry Road, and then come via Stratton Ground and New Scotland Yard, and then up along Birdcage Walk, where we saw quite a police presence and ambulances too. I think all for the President of the United States. Obviously the ambulance is there, about half a dozen of them, perhaps anticipating that the Commander-in-Chief might be offered a pretzel while visiting Downing Street, and wanting to make sure that it doesn't come to any mischief as a result of snack-induced choking while on British soil. They're standing by. The helicopter seems to have disappeared, but the sky is filled with little fluffy clouds, as the expression goes, and we're now in Hyde Park, cycling along the edge of the Serpentine. And Jason, my outdoor swimming and Lido guide for the day, has expressed already to me privately his reservations about the murky waters of the Serpentine, because this is a natural, is it a natural lake or is it a man-made lake? Anyway, it's natural waters coming down from one of the old lost rivers of London, essentially, then dammed up here and then eventually working their way down to the Thames. But it is a lake, and it has swimming in it, but you're not too sure about it.
Expressing reservations is putting it mildly. I've been in here once before. That was late September time, and I thought, yeah, I can handle this, no problem. I went in with my goggles, couldn't see a thing, got kind of midway in the Serpentine Lido, panicked, and that was the end of my Serpentine experience. It's just the concept of not being clear and dirty and muddy and possible things swimming beneath your toes that puts me off. I'm not into horrid, clinical, sterile indoor pools. I'm not into this as the great outdoors. I want some kind of happy medium, of which an outdoor Lido and not, let's face it, a lake is my preferred choice to swim. But I'll give it a go, yes.
Right, well, we're being joined by a gaggle of Canada geese who are sitting preening themselves on the side. I love the way that they just stand on one leg.
Yeah, but that is my problem. You see, I don't want to swim with geese. I want to swim with other humans who actually enjoy the outdoor experience. I'm kind of petrified.
The geese are enjoying the outdoor experience.
Yeah, but I've got this kind of vision of me getting in the middle again, panicking, and then these geese flocking on top of me and perhaps drowning me. This does seem a bit too natural for my liking.
Well, there we go. We did actually officially get hissed at by a rather anxious mother goose who had three goslings that she was concerned that we were coming to disturb. Of course, we were just trying to get out of the water, but we seemed to survive that one. So is your goose phobia diminishing by the minute?
That was an experience. I was probably in there for less than 2 or 3 minutes. I managed one length. First up with my head above water, and all was fine. And then for the return leg, I put my head down, and all I could see was like dirt and grime and mud, and I think something moving along underwater. And
that's just your imagination.
No, it was definitely there, and that's when I thought, okay, it's time to get out.
But you can't question the beauty of the spot. You've got that bridge there on West Carriage Drive, and the trees around. I think it's pretty lovely, and you can see some of the buildings over in the West End.
Yeah, it's a fine location. It's wonderful, especially this time of year. It's just not where I would choose to swim all year round.
Well, they do swim all year round here, yeah. Notably on Christmas Day, where there's a celebrated swim, which sometimes involves breaking the ice. Well, I think that's what they hope, or probably less and less in these days of global warming. But there's a hardy bunch here.
The Christmas Day swim, isn't it the Mickey Mouse Cup they compete for? I think that's probably just invented to try and fill the new schedule on a very, very slow day. There's a Queen's speech and then, hey, here's some fools diving into the Serpentine. And now only fools and horses.
The very English Christmas. I first started swimming at the Serpentine because I was trying to get ready for a triathlon. And I'd been swimming in the pool up at the YMCA for a while. And I suddenly realised that if I was going to be swimming in the open water, it was actually going to be in the London docks for the London Triathlon. I wasn't going to be able to see the bottom, and I wasn't going to be able to follow the course very easily. And I needed to practice being able to swim in a straight line without following the line on the bottom of the swimming pool. So that's why I started coming here. And I really enjoy it. I don't mind about the geese and the muck. And I think it is aerated, so they do test it for microbes and things like that. So, you know, it passes all the health and safety. And I think it's quite nice. I actually quite like the taste of it more than the chlorine taste.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sting the eyes quite in the same way.
Really, it's all about air and water. And that is what I love about swimming outdoors. It's two things that you need in life, air and water. And here you've got both in abundance. Summer heat's got me feeling lazy. Air is warm and the sky's hazy. People getting down, getting crazy. Oh, people getting down, getting stupid, getting crazy. Hey, hey, it's a summertime day. Summertime day.
So we're now on the cycle path that goes up essentially to the west of Park Lane inside Hyde Park up towards Speaker's Corner, basically, from where we'll head east towards and north towards London Fields for the third and final leg of our morning of outdoor swimming spots and London Lidos. So as well as writing your own Londonist blog, what other bloggers and websites do you find interesting from a London perspective?
Gosh, where to start? Too many to mention. We have touched on Diamond Geezer, who is pretty wonderful. diamondgeezer.blogspot.com. I like a blog called The Last Bus Home, which is written by, from a southeast perspective, and a Charlton fan, I believe. And that sort of touched on life in South East London and commuting as well, various bits and pieces. And there's Londonists. I'm not really a big fan of these collaborative blogs where you have a group of people. I always think part of the beauty of blogging is it's quite a unique perspective identity of one person's own thoughts and ideas. But Londonist is like a collection of different writers. It's very newsy. It's got a high turnover of content. It does seem to work. It's quite informative. I think it's the acceptable face, yes, of online group publishing.
Well, a little bit of a cross-country route has brought us to London Fields.
I must say, I love London Fields Lido. Brockwell Lido is my Lido. The reason why I love London Fields, if we turn left here, sharp left.
All right, a bit of cross-country action. Oh, yeah. Cyclocross.
The reason I love London Fields is because it's open all year round. My Lido year is pretty much 3-4 months of the year living at Brockwell. And then it's always perhaps one of the saddest days of the year when Brockwell closes at the end of the summer season. I'm heading here into the corner. And then it's a quick trip uptown, up to North London, and swimming all year round at London Fields, which is not as bad as it might seem, because you have to whisper this. It's not really Lido etiquette, and some people really frown upon it. London Fields is heated. It's a very, very nice building as well. A quick potted history of London Fields. This opened, I believe, in 1932, and then closed in 86. We've got a familiar story happening here. And it lay derelict in a really, really sorry state for pretty much 20 years. And there was a lot of local campaigning and some very dogged campaigning to try and reopen it and keep it opening. And it reopened 2 years ago, and it's been a remarkable success. Being open all year round, it's used a lot by the local community. A lot of schools use it. And I think it's just about got right the balance between the old and the new. When we look inside, you'll see it's got still an Art Deco structure, but the changing rooms, the whole pool itself has been totally lined. And it's a very, very clean, fresh, modern building. So London Fields, like it a lot.
Another quick 10 lengths or so of the pool, and my impression of this one is it's not quite in such a stunning location as the previous two, and the water definitely felt a little bit more swimming poolish. I don't know if that means it's got more chlorine or it's just that it's a little bit warmer so it has that feel, but still it's a nice long pool. Architecturally it's more modern.
I don't think it's been as subtle as the changes down at Brockwell that we saw earlier on this morning, where they blended the new with the old almost seamlessly. Yeah, this does have a quite a modern feel to it. You can still see the walls are pretty much part of the original Art Deco style, although the tiled roofs not so much, and the flash changing rooms and showers. And I'd also think the coloured outdoor changing rooms here, the colour scheme, borrows very heavily from Tooting Lido, which has got a very, very distinct...
So primary colours.
Yeah, which is quite distinctive down in Tooting. But I come here ready to swim rather than for the architecture. That's an added bonus.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Well, with the diminishing number of Lidos in London, I guess there aren't any that are under threat, really, with the resurgence in popularity. But they're few and far between, so it does make a bicycle ride pretty logical if you want to get to a Lido. Most people probably don't live within walking distance, and the idea of getting on a tube to go to a Lido is a bit strange, or a bus, or driving along. So the cycle and the Lido kind of go hand in hand a bit, don't they, really?
Absolutely. I always find it strange when people like drive a car to go to a gym, to run on a treadmill, where they might as well just go and run around a park. But what I really love about either coming here or down in South London is the bike ride first and then a swim.
It's a shame we didn't quite have the energy and the time to make it up to the Highgate bathing ponds, because they're pretty nice.
We could have made this into a weekend, or it's worth just name checking. There's Parliament Hill, which is the sister Lido of Brockwell, both built by the same architect, identical style, which is going strong. Charlton Lido, which had went under, but that has again surfaced again this summer. And then looking further out, we can talk about Richmond. And then there's the Oasis Outdoor Pool in the West End. So plenty of options for people that want to go around swimming outdoors in London.
Woke up looking at the sun. It's something o'clock in the afternoon. Another day getting nothing done. But that's okay, we'll be back to work soon. I always go on the radio. Make some food and invite my friends round. Sit back and enjoy the show. The summertime's here, we don't have to do anything.
Girls are getting down with it.
Come on.
They're walking around with bikinis on and thinking of some funky shit.
Yeah,
let's take a dip in the water. The party's in a full swing. Girls acting like they're in a video, so let me bring the chorus in.
Barbecue, girls getting down in my parents' room. It's all good if you're in the mood. I got no cares, cause they won't be back soon. It never ends with my favorite friends. We'll be tied to the bitter end. Always getting into something bad. I swear these days are the best that I ever had.
Girls are getting down with it.
Come on, yeah.
They're walking around with bikinis on, thinking of some funky shit.
Get down.
Girls acting like they're in a video, so let me bring the chorus in.